Blog Talk Radio.
To God in the highest. God bless you and thank you so much for being here with your hostess, Lisa Marie, on the Stars of Heaven Network 9. And I hope that your afternoon is going well and your week has been fruitful and prosperous and all that wonderful stuff. I'm excited to be here to minister the new prophetic calendar alignment for the month of Gamal, and I'm really excited about this offering, as I am with all of the Levitical calendar alignments that the Holy Spirit allows me to bring to you at this time of the month. And I'm excited about this new solar, new equinox, because it always births in a new energy, a new fire. It always gives us a new beginning into the seasons and times that God has in his own hands for our life. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And I'm not going to prolong the time, because I have a lot to cover and minister in this alignment, as I do all of my alignments. They always appear to be really long, and I always say, oh, it's going to be too long for them to read. They're going to be, but I just can't help it. It's just so good and so in so much enlightenment that it gives me in sharing with me these alignments that I have to put it all out there. I have to give you the whole role, everything. So bless you for being here with me in studio. And summer is quickly approaching, and so I'm excited about the summer months, the summer harvest, the summer fruit that we are now cultivating based on this seed that has been implanted in us. And that seed is the Word of God, and most importantly, the Holy Spirit. So this new calendar based on the Hebrew calendar. I'm excited to minister Gamal 3:7 because what it means in each month that we are given have great meaning. Now, this is the Jewish calendar, the Levitical Hebrew calendar, as I call it. And we also have a Gregorian calendar, and they work simultaneously. They work together. As it is in heaven, as it shall be on earth. So they're working together. So and it's a blessing to be aligned, which is why I come to you at this time, to help you get aligned with what he's saying first in the spirit, according to what he instituted, according to his word, so that you could it could be aligned with you in the natural, according to the Gregorian calendar. And all of that is hinged upon and dependent upon where you are, your positioning, which means the state of your heart. Amen. The state of your soul, the seat of your soul, which is should be saved. I hope it's saved today. I hope you're saved. So I want to say that first and foremost, that this is based on you walking in the newness of life. Although I'm ministering this, a lot of this is coming from the Old Testament. It is truly, fully fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I'm ministering this from the newness of life. That's why I call it the prophetic will calendar, because prophetic means what God has already said, what God has already done, it's already been spoken, it has already been written, it's already been done, it's already been fulfilled. I made a calendar because it's based on times and seasons. It's a wheel, W-H-E-E, wheel, because it keeps turning, keeps spinning, just like a calendar. The calendar keeps going. Yes, 30 days. So that's why I call it prophetic wheel calendar alignment. I know that's a lot, but that's the way he gave it to me when I birthed this. And because it's coming from Brides of Christ Women's Ministries, it's my alignment that he gave me on how to align myself by way of the universe, which embodies his cosmic creations and his mysteries, and which I call the Mesorah of God. And one of the things that I love about coming to you with the Brides of Christ Women's Ministries prophetic calendar alignment, will alignment, is that it's unique to each of us based on the year we were born. And again, the calendars were given their names based on the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Mesorah of God, well, I was just saying the Mesorah of God was given based on not only the planets, but the 12 tribes of Israel. So that is the foundation of why we need to get aligned to understand what is the personality, what's the meaning of that month, what is releasing, what is the saying to us collectively, and how that is going to be manifested and birthed in individually based on our covenant with God. Amen. Our covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is new, based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and certainly the blood of Jesus. Amen. And the water. Glory be to God. Now, again, the month of seven means bright and their covering. And now more than ever do we need to be covered by the Lord. We need his covering, we need his banner, we need his protection. And this month is what declares that. It is the third month of the 12 months of the agricultural calendar. Excuse me. This month represents and means lifted up, because each month has a prophetic event, a prophetic movement based on what God did at that time. And it's really important to understand what God is doing and saying in our lives, which can be seen by the Old Testament, which is why I love the Old Testament and learning about the Old Testament, because it's a portrait of how God moved. It's a portrait and a picture of what he did and of his personality and how he's moving and still doing today. Amen. Fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So this month, God lifted up Moses and gave him his teaching for guidance and for instruction. This month reveals and honors the merciful one, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as well as God himself, because God is a merciful God. And again, everything that God did at this time, this prophetic time, it was through Moses, which is his leader, was for and to the children of Israel, to teach them his laws and his precepts. The things that he taught based on God's word and what God was speaking to him was considered seeds, revealed by Moses being a prophet and sung by the song. So everything God did, he did by speaking it through his prophets, and he declared it by the song of the Lord. And those two things are really the foundation of how we receive from God. We receive by what he says, and we rejoice by what we hear and what we sing. Now, these were all planted in Israel in Gamal, which is third month. And I want to quickly share with you the meaning of Gamal, because Gamal means to produce, as I stated, to produce and to lift up. And all of this basically says and reveals what was happening during that time in the month of Gamal, which was where Moses was leading the children of Israel to the promised land on foot. Amen. To plant them in the promised land. So Gamal also means foot. So this month means transition, transformation to the place of promise. Amen. To be established in the place of promise. So that's what Gamal means according to the Hebrew and its interpretation, which is interpreted by the number three, which is, again, the third month. It also represents the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that's really interesting in this month that speaks of being lifted up, which is also represented by the camel. The male is represented by the camel because the camel is symbolic of, again, carrying. When the children of Israel were brought out, they put all their possessions, when we're being brought out of Egypt, they put all their possessions on a camel on his back, and the camel was able to lift them up and move them forward. Now, with all the Hebrew characteristics, they can have a positive and negative meaning. And I always say, you know, whatever it is that God is saying, it depends on the state of your heart, the state of your soul, that will manifest as it being good, or whether it being evil, or whether it being positive, or whether it being negative. And one of the things about being lifted up, which was what Moses was instructed to do by symbolism of the serpent in the wilderness, was not only for them to be warned and to be aware of the danger of what's in the wilderness, because in the wilderness you have a lot of prey, you have a lot of predators, and the serpent was one of them. So the serpent was again, it is one of the most subtle creatures that God created. So in God using the serpent, which dwells in the wilderness, this was used as symbolic to children of Israel as a woe. And the thing that I love about God teaching, and which is fulfilled now in Christ Jesus, is that everything that God creates, he creates for a purpose, and it is good. Now, how it manifests, again, in your life, it depends on your position. Whether you're in God's will, perfect will, accepted will, permissive will, or whether you're cursed or blessed. And so the thing that I love about what he was saying to me and what all this says is that in this month being bright and covering, the word of God says, whosoever breaketh the hedge, the serpent will bite. So everything Israel was going through at this time was to teach them obedience, to teach them how to respect the leaders that God has given to cover and protect you. Now that we are born again of the water and the spirit, I'm born of the water and spirit. The Holy Spirit is my covering. He's my banner. He's my husband, man. Because, again, it's a personal relationship. And he's given me the Holy Spirit, giving you the Holy Spirit individually, which is my Holy Ghost, your Holy Ghost, that will lead and guide us to all truth. So this goes back to the serpent, which was in the garden in the beginning where we beguiled Eve. And this serpent is still being, needs to still be recognized today. And in this month of Gamal, it shows us that. And so I hope that you will learn from this prophetic picture and this prophetic history of what the serpent means, which is to beware. Now, the thing that I love about this, ultimately, reading Numbers 21 from the Old Testament, is that the serpent was meant, again, to warn them of the dangers of the wilderness. But glory be to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, that the serpent no longer has the venom and the power that he has because Jesus, or what he did. Amen. And that's when the psalmist says, oh, death, where is thy sting? Because with serpents, they have a stinging. They have a venom that if they bite you, you could die. And that's why the Lord allowed and sent the fiery serpent to the children of Israel, against the children of Israel, because of their disobedience. Because of their disobedience and their rebellion. And that's the same that we need to understand today, that if you are not born again of the water and the spirit, if you are living a life of in the carnal nature, in the old nature, you are still subject to not only the law of sin and death, but you are subject to the serpent and all his beguiling ways. And most importantly, those who he worked through, which are the children of disobedience. So the serpent was meant to be only for that particular generation who was murmuring and complaining, had doubt and unbelief. And God used the fiery serpent as a way of chastising them and rebuking them. And when many of them were bit by the serpent, they died. So glory be to God, that's not the case that we have today. We don't have to be afraid of the serpent. In fact, he said he gave us all power over the enemy, over every creeping thing, over every creeping thing, crawling thing. Amen. He's empowered us. And so the serpent now represents healing. It now represents healing for us who are now have adoption, those of us who are now walking in obedience. And so when God allowed the serpent to do what he was intended to do, those who remained and looked upon the serpent, they lived. So that same serpent who God sent to bite the children of Israel, those who were in disobedience in that generation who perished. Now that same serpent is one that they are to look upon, was to look upon and live. Hallelujah. So God can use anything for his glory. And he used the serpent for that very purpose. And again, the children of Israel thought that looking upon a serpent was foolishness. But it was what they were told to do by Moses. And beholding the serpent upon the iron, upon the brass, because that was his form of deliverance. And I tell you, God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that didn't believe. So whatever it is that God chooses to use, it has purpose. Amen. And so one of the things that I was really being blessed by this is reminding me of what that means today. When you see that symbol this symbol of the rod around the serpent, the two serpents around the rod, that now is for our healing. And so I gave you a picture of the rod, which is now for healing, which is symbolic in the arts and in the medical field, which represents healing. And it's really, it's called Mercury's Rod, and I can get into a whole nother teaching about that. But I wanted to just, you know, share with you the symbolic of what this means, that we don't have to be afraid of the serpent anymore because we have power over him and because we're no longer beguiled by him, because we have adoption where we call Abba Father. And Jesus said here, make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen. And the thing that I love so much about what the Lord did in using Moses and being now in the New Testament based, fulfilled on Jesus, Jesus was hung on a cross. And John 3rd chapter, the 14th, 15th verse says, just as Moses suffered in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. And that's why I so love my faith, going faith to faith. And that's why I so love the Holy Eucharist, because, you know, being concentrating on it and focusing upon the cross and envisioning Jesus on the cross, it removes any stain of sin. It removes any doubt, any fear that's there that's trying to distract me. So, you know, as we behold him, as we behold him on the cross, as we are reminded of why he was crucified on the cross, that is for us to remember that it's hope in that. Amen. Jesus willfully died for our sins. And by us receiving that and beholding him up on the cross and lifting him up, because say, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. That means lift it up in our praise, lift them up in our conviction, lift them up in our stance, lift them up by way of preaching and teaching of the Word of God. He said he'll draw all men unto him. So I'm really, really blessed by the fulfillment of what Moses did through Jesus Christ. He also was reminding me that in it's in the New Testament where he said they shall look upon him. Well, that's in Old Testament. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And so looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, is the thing that we need to remember and to gaze upon and to keep as our focus. Amen. That he is no longer on the cross, but now he's resurrected by the power of God. Now, another thing that I really found interesting in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, as well as his resurrection, in us being healed, because the Word of God says he was bruised by iniquity, but his stripes were healed. Amen. That serpent that was put on the rod, that Moses put on the rod, was not living. It was dead. But it was symbolic of, again, of what was now then meant for evil, God turned for good. And so I'm really excited for this month's focus in Gamal, which is correct movement. Amen. Correct movement, which means, again, foot. Gamal means foot. And learning how to walk in the newness of life. And that's really important in every day in our life as believers and as sons and daughters, is that we are now free from condemnation. And I want to put give you Romans 8, chapter 1st and 2nd verse, where the Word of God says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death. So it's really important to understand that in walking in newness of life, in the month of Gamal, Jesus being our forerunner, we now are free from the sin of sin, the law of sin and death. We're not bound by that law anymore. I also wanted to include Romans, the 6th chapter, the 1st through the 6th verse, where he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live anymore, live any longer therein? So if we're dead to sin, we've died to the old nature, we've died to our old ways, our past, our sin nature, and if we've been baptized, which means immersed, which means buried in his death, baptized in his death, we are buried with him in baptism by the resurrection power from the dead by God's Spirit, Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, I'm looking at something else. By his Spirit. So we are now raised from the dead by way of our confession, by way of our repentance, into new life, by way of our confession and by the power of God, who breath and life is within us. Now he goes on to say in Romans 6, the 6th chapter, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Or if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And so the beautiful thing about this is going into the Mezerah, going into the constellation, and giving us an example this month of what those two natures look like. And under the constellation of Gemini, which is represented the twins, Jacob and Esau are two examples of these natures. These twins were non-identical, but opposite in their nature. And I really, was blessed and praising God for this because being a twin, I was a twin. She passed when she was 3. I often think about what type of person she would have been, what type of nature she would have had. And twins although may have different personalities, basically share the same DNA. And so it's always a mystery on how two things can be the same but be polar opposite in nature. And so Gemini is the constellation that is under this month's meso, or shall I say Mesera. And it gives an example of this. These two natures, one represents Jacob, the good inclination, which is good nature, while Esau represents the evil inclination nature. One of the major stars in the constellation of Gemini is called Nazarene, meaning the sent prince, which we know is the Messiah. Now, I found this interesting because just like Jesus was sent, our Messiah from his nativity, Nazarene, he also sent the serpent. So Jesus was the sent one by way of birth into the earth realm by the new nature, amen, by the new covenant, by that which is above. Hallelujah. And so that is the nature we're supposed to be manifesting in our lives, being believers, being born again of the water and the spirit, having adoption, manifesting the new nature, which is from above. Now, mind you, the thing with the snake speaks to the ground and being on its belly. So it's important to understand that if we're going to really see the promises of God come to pass in our life, we need to see those things come together and come to pass by way of the new nature, which is Christ. Now, I really, 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 really was excited about this because as I continue to bring together it again, reminded me and touched on the spoiler alert that I put on here, which is June's offering, which celebrates marriage. Because again, everything God was doing with the children of Israel, everything Jesus did was to bring us into union, bring us into oneness. And one of the things that's symbolic of the twins is the two tablets, which represents the covenant given to Moses. One of the covenants was given at the first at Mount Sinai, and the second was at Moab, the place called the seat of the Father, the place he chose to seat himself, establish himself, give them a permanent tabernacle in the promised land. And that's the same thing that he is doing when he joins us in holy matrimony. And that's what he did in joining us to Christ, meaning now the two has become one. And so I'm really excited to start preparing June's offering because it really celebrates the wedding between our marriage with Christ, amen, between God and his bride in Israel. This has been consummated by the blood of Jesus. It's been consummated by the cross, by our confession, by opening our heart and receiving Christ into our heart. Amen. Confessing him as Lord and Savior, him sealing us with the seal of redemption by the way of the Holy Ghost. And I gave you 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 15th through 17th verse, because when we are one with him, we are one with him based on our temple, our soul, first and foremost, then our temple, our bodies, which are the members of Christ. And one of the things that he was expounding upon, which is one of the mission statements that I have on my website for Bride of Christ's ministry, is understanding that we are joined to as one spirit. he that's joined unto the Lord is one spirit. But he said that he too shall become one flesh. So it's really important to understand the difference of what you're joining yourself to as it relates to God, fellowship, communion with him. Amen. Again, there's the harlot church and there's the true church. And you have to know the difference. You have to be able to discern the difference between the true church and the harlot church. And that first starts with you. Have you been fully cleansed and delivered and set free and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you receiving the true gospel, hearing the true gospel, preaching the true gospel? Amen. I'm going to go down to Revelation quickly before my time expires and go to Revelation, because Revelation was another scripture I want to put on here about how he's bidded us to the marriage feast of the Lamb, and how Revelation declares that the Lamb has come and that the bride has made herself ready. Hallelujah. How she's been cleansed and she's arrayed in fine linen. And how she has accepted the invitation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. So this, again, is the invitation for you to come. Amen. He's bidding you to come, to be joined with him, to be one with him, to be reconciled with him by way of the blood of Jesus Christ, that you don't have to die in your sins. You don't have to live in trial and error. You don't have to feel like you are outcast or you're not protected, because you are. Amen. Now, quickly, I want to go to the tribe that's celebrated this month, and that's the tribe of Zubaril. And Zubaril represents prosperity. He was one who supported his brother Issachar by studying the deeper mysteries of God's word. Now, Zubaril means to dwell. Or to have inhibition, which is what I've been preaching on and ministered on this month in celebration of mothers and flowers. That's the thing that God has been more focusing on, is our home, our dwelling place, first and foremost in us, having occupancy in our heart, in our soul, taking up residency in our hearts, in our life, our bodies being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Amen. So I really wanted to make sure that I touched on that, because, again, every month in the Mezerah, based on the tribe, 12 tribes of Israel, is the meaning. And this tribe is represented in this month. Amen. I went on to say in dwelling with God, in the place he has established you, put you, first and foremost in the heavens, giving us eternal life, assurance of eternal life, going before us to prepare a place for us, and where he is, we may be also, giving us divine access, holy access to the throne of God by way of the Holy Spirit, by way of the Holy Holy, by way of Jesus being our great high priest, our intercessor. He went on to just remind me of that union that we have with him, that we dwell with God according to knowledge. And this was the word of the Lord that Peter preached and declared physically to the church, where he said, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Amen. We go from faith to faith, and from strength to strength in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. We grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we only can dwell with God according to what we know about him. Amen. And that's based on what he chooses to reveal about himself. Amen. You can know all type of scriptures and have it be versed in the scriptures, but unless he chooses to reveal himself and show himself, nothing's happening. Amen. He knows us by his spirit, and our spirit will bear witness with other people's spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. Now, I went on to declare that he's my banner, he's my husband, he's my strength, he's my song, he's my salvation. Hallelujah. I gave you Solomon, the third chapter, where it exalts the daughter of Zion to behold her king, who is crowned forever, wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal. Glory be to God, and that is speaking of our blessed mother. Glory be to God. That is speaking of how he's been crowned by blessed mother, by God, because of the completed work of God by way of the cross of Calvary. And because of that, we can rejoice. Amen. We have gladness in our heart because we have hope. I have salvation. I have the blessed assurance of salvation, of eternal life. Amen. I went on to include in the final salutation of this alignment, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 22nd to 21st verse, where it says for us wives to be submitted to our own husbands. Amen. And of course, he was speaking this naturally, but this is spiritually, you know, being the bride of Christ, him being my husband, man, being and Jesus being the bridegroom. My husband should be the true God, the true church. Amen. He said, woe unto them who have many teachers, for they shall receive the greater condemnation. Amen. And we must remember that he is the head. Amen. Whether you're married or unmarried, he is the head of us all. Amen. Christ is the head of the church. Amen. Christ is the head of the husband. Amen. And as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Hallelujah. Well, that's all the time I have for today. And I hope that you've been blessed by this month's prophetic will alignment. And I hope that you'll take more time to really study it and let it soak in and meditate upon it so it could really birth the fruit that it needs to birth in for you in this season. I will be coming back to do the benediction for Mothers and Flowers, the celebration of the Mystic Rose, as well as I'm working on June's offering as well. So I bless God for you. I praise the Lord for you being here, for supporting Bride of Christ Women's Ministries, for supporting me and praying for me. And know that we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors in him that loves us. Amen. And that the serpent is now under our feet. Amen. I tread upon lions, antlers, and scorpions and all those things because of the power of God. Amen. So I bid you peace, blessings, and much love. I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon as well as your evening. Love ya, and I will speak with you soon. Take care.